And let us turn in God's Word to 1 Kings chapter 10 as we continue looking at Solomon and as we continue looking specifically at the wisdom God had given Solomon. We turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. So let us hear together the Word of God. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It is a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he has made you king, to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for the singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. Now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. The weight of the gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold, besides that from the traveling merchants and from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia and from the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate year by year. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and in with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem and stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. Also Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and Kiva. The king's merchants bought them in Kiva at the current price. Now a chariot that was imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150. And thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the beauty and the wonder of what Solomon has on this earth, our minds need to be brought forward to the beauty and the glory of what God has provided for us. Solomon's greater son, David's greater son, is our true Lord, our true King. And he reigns not from an earthly throne, but he reigns from on high, from heaven. And his wisdom certainly was given somewhat to Solomon, but his wisdom is far and beyond that which Solomon has. God works all things together. And so we see Solomon working certain things together, so much so that the Queen of Sheba says that she lost heart because of the wisdom of the ways in which Solomon worked these things out. And perhaps when we see great things done in the world today, we might say, wow, isn't that just amazing how that works together? And yet we need to understand that God is working the whole world, the whole universe together for the good of his people, for his glory. And so whether it be, to me it's always airplane 747, whether that be so many other things going on in this world and the wonders of this world, we need to realize that they are nothing in the sight of God. Even as silver was nothing at the time of Solomon. We have to see that as well. We think, wow, gold everywhere. In heaven, the streets will be paved with gold, God says. That which we think is so important will be trod underfoot. And so whether we live in a time of great wealth and prosperity, whether we live in a time where those things are not so much available, we need to understand that God is the one who provides for us all that is necessary. And all that we have is a gift, is really a trust from God. What are we going to do with it? And we've already looked at Solomon and had some questions. And here as well, we ought to have some questions. Look at the end of the chapter. Solomon goes down to Egypt, which was specifically forbidden by God for a king to gather together to himself chariots, horses, and when we get into the next part chapter, women. The kings were not supposed to go after these things. And again, we are reminded of the power of our God. Our God is the Lord of hosts. And we'll see that as well as we consider the abilities that Solomon had with chariots. Whereas we think about the power of the Lord's army. So as we look at God's word this morning, first of all, the theme that we want to see is what God has given. And we look at then, what do we do with God's gifts? We look at what God has given Solomon, what God has given us. And then we need to ask the question, what are we doing with God's gifts? In verses 1 through 9, we look at God's gift of wisdom demonstrated to the Queen of Sheba. In verses 10 through 15, we see God's blessings on Solomon and his generosity with God's gifts. And in verses 16 through 29, we look at Solomon and what did he do with God's gifts to him. So first of all, we look at the Queen of Sheba. We see her come to Solomon. And she had questions for him. She came with a great pile of stuff. with camels that bore spices, very much gold, precious stones. She spoke to Solomon about all that was in her heart. And what do we read there, verse 3? So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. But where did this wisdom come from? We need to have that in the back of our mind. This was some of the wisdom of God given to Solomon. It was a gift. It was an entrustment. Jesus, when he's talking about the things which we have, whether it be wisdom, whether it be finances, whether it be so many of the other abilities that we have, all of them are gifts from God. They are entrustments. We are stewards of those gifts. And we need to be using them for the glory of God, not just for our own enjoyment. We have to be careful about that. And Solomon, I think, needed to have been more careful about that. We think of gifts from the perspective of modern people. We think about stuff from the perspective, it's mine, 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 mine. When it's not, it's God's. And so Solomon has this wisdom. Notice the Queen of Sheba, even we read there concerning the name of the Lord, the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Even as we have the topic of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba addressed, this is about God. This is about God's glory. And certainly God gave glory to Solomon through this wisdom. We see as well in the service of Solomon, when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. Notice, Solomon had everything set up the way he wanted it. And there was wisdom in that. We see all of these things laid out according to the wisdom of Solomon, but we need to remember that God doesn't just lay out cupbearers and apparel for his waiters and things like that. That God works out everything. As you've heard me say, we so often look and see a couple of things that work together and we say, see, God was working that together. And yes, perhaps. But the things God is doing in the universe and in the world is so far beyond our puny minds that when we truly get a picture of it, and I think we will somewhat in heaven, we see it kind of laid out for us in Scripture. That our understandings, those times when we say, wow, those are going to be just distant little memories. Because of the glory of every atom worked out by God for His glory, for our good. But notice as well, the response that the Queen of Sheba had to Solomon. She said, verse 6, it was a true report which I had heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. Here's an interesting parallel, I think, in our own brains. We hear about the wisdom of God, and it is a true report. But we don't get to see it as fully. The wisdom of God is beyond our minds. But it is a true report that we read in Scripture concerning those things. And I think there's parallels as well for us, verse 7 and 8. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. We need to see, and we do sometimes see, just little vignettes of what's going on. But the half is not told us. The half is not understood by us of what God has done. And Solomon certainly was very wise, given by God. Your wisdom and your prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. We are called to stand continually before God and seek His wisdom. Yes, there are earthly people who have wisdom, who have great things. But we need to come to God for the true wisdom, for final wisdom. And notice as well, she blesses the Lord. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore He has made you king. Brothers and sisters, there is a better than Solomon on the throne. Our Savior, whom because God loves the true Israel, the church of God, He has set on the throne. And it is with His wisdom that He reigns. All that Solomon had was initially given to him. Our Savior conquered the kingdom. He did not just have it given to him. And so we have Solomon, the beauty of the wisdom God had given to him, the provisions that he had, and we look a little bit about what he has brought to him. 120 talents of gold was given to him by the Queen of Sheba. Spices in great quantity, precious stones. Great and wonderful things are coming into the kingdom of Israel because of the wisdom God had given to Solomon. There never came such abundance of spices as she gave to Solomon, but we read in verse 10. We also read of other things here, because what was flowing in was the great blessing of God upon the wisdom of Solomon, upon, I think as well, going back to David, king of Israel. And so we have the ships of Hiram brought gold from Ophir, great quantities of this beautiful wood. We don't know what almug wood is, honestly. Precious stones. If we look, and we will in a few minutes, look at the picture God gives to us of the throne room of heaven. We see precious stones, the beauty of these things laid out for us. We have these things on earth, and we can make places beautiful, but their beauty pales in comparison to what God gives us. And notice, for Solomon, the people who were drinking out of gold cups were those of his household. But brothers and sisters, we're going to be walking on gold in heaven. We will most certainly be drinking out of cups better than that. Think not only for the rulers and what we think of as important people, but the most lowly person who comes into heaven, who has believed on Christ, receives that glory because of our great Lord and King. And notice what Solomon does with the almug wood. He makes steps for the house of the Lord. He makes steps for his own house. Harps, stringed instruments. Again, there was never such almug wood brought into Israel. And Solomon, then, having received all of these things, gives. Solomon gave the queen whatever she asked, beyond the royal generosity. And she returned and went to her own country with her servants. Now notice those words, the royal generosity. There was some sort of codified present for royal visitors. And we're called to be generous with the things that God has given to us. Too often, we hold them to ourselves. I want me, me. God calls us to be ready to be using hospitality, to have people over. It used to be people visited one another. Nowadays we're like, wow, my house is such a mess, or whatever it is. Not good enough. No, we need to have people over. Interestingly enough, the most hospitable people are often the poorest people. For some reason, As we get more affluent in our culture, we don't have people over. And Solomon is ready and willing to give the things that he has received as a gift from God. And so we're told that 660 talents of silver came into Solomon yearly. And then there was more from the traveling merchants, traders, from the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. Just millions upon millions of dollars in gold is what we need to understand there. But we need to understand as well, where does this stuff come from? It is a trust from God. And then we ask the question, what did Solomon do with these things? And we need to ask ourselves, God has blessed us greatly. We live in a world where we have lots. What do we do with it? So first of all, we read of shields made out of gold. Solomon had 200 large shields made out of hammered gold, 600 shekels of gold in each shield. These are huge. He also had 300 shields in which three minas of gold. Certainly you're never going to use these in battle. And yet it is something that could be carried in front of the king, in the glory of the king. Solomon placed these shields in the house of the forest of Lebanon. As we said, we don't know exactly where that was. It could have been a rest spot near Jerusalem. It could have been all the way up in Lebanon. We're not certain. But we need to understand that God is our shield, not earthly protections. And we need to understand that God is the one who provides protection for us. And then we read of Solomon's throne, which again is gorgeous and needs to remind us of the throne of God. He had a great throne of ivory, overlaid with pure gold. Now, nowadays, people are worried about people using ivory and killing animals unwarranted and stuff like that for them. We need to understand that this was not something that was a problem at that point. And furthermore, animals are there for our usage. We as human beings are trying to preserve this world under plastic wrap. And we need to understand that God is the one who gave us this world to use. And so Solomon had this throne made from ivory covered with gold. It had six steps. The throne was rounded. I don't know, we're so used to chairs that fit us well. We need to understand that there was an awful lot of history where people didn't sit in chairs that were rounded on the back. So this was of note. Had armrests, again, something that would not have been a normal thing. And then we have figures of lions. Two lions stood beside the armrests, and then one on each side of the six or five other steps. We have these things. Why? Because it certainly lent a lot of beauty and grandeur to the throne room of Solomon. But brothers and sisters, I want to read for us. I'll invite you, if you want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 4, as we have a picture laid out for us of the throne room of God. After these things, Revelation chapter 4, beginning reading, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature like a face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." And so we have this picture laid out for us of the beauty, of the immensity of the throne room of God, of the beauty of precious stones echoing that beauty of God, of the living creatures echoed here in Solomon's throne room with lions, one of a lion, one of a calf, one of a man, one of a flying eagle. And God is worthy. Solomon, of course, being a broken, stained human being, was not worthy. But God is worthy of the glory, of the honor that is due to His name. So Solomon, yes, had this beautiful throne room, had all of these things working. He had drinking vessels of gold, as we've said, both in Jerusalem and the house of the forest of Lebanon. Silver was accounted as nothing. Solomon had merchant ships on the sea with the fleet of Hiram, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes. And we're not sure about that final word, whether it's monkeys or peacocks. Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. But again, where does that come from? It's a gift from God. The richest person, the poorest person, needs to understand that what we have is a gift, is an entrustment from God. We are to use it for God's glory. And the earth seeks after God's wisdom. All the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And each one brought a present to Solomon as they came. And notice this was on a regular basis, year by year, articles of silver, gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules. The world came and did homage to Solomon. But again, we are reminded that the world will come and do homage to God. Now, when wisdom is personified in earthly beauty, mankind seeks after it. But when it is about final spiritual things, mankind shuns it. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Mankind seeks after earthly wisdom, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And we need to be drawn to the message preached, to Jesus Christ, to He who, from an earthly perspective, in weakness died on a cross, who is truly the King of the universe, who is our Lord. And while Solomon gathers chariots and horsemen, Christ gathers his kingdom. Christ gathers people to go out with the gospel. We read Solomon had chariots, horsemen, 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen stationed in chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. We read about how much it costs to get a chariot, but we need to be reminded, God said, don't do that. Don't go after chariots. Don't go after horses. We need to understand the power of God. And I love one of the most beautiful passages from an earthly perspective to me is with Elisha. And his servant is worried because the enemies were surrounding them. And Elisha says, 2 Kings 6:16 and 17, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Those who are with us in Christ Jesus are more than those who are against us. We as human beings see the beauty of Solomon and run after that stuff. Jesus said, Solomon in all his splendor is not clothed as beautifully as a lily. And so we need to think about our own uses of the things God has given to us. What are we doing with them? They're gifts, they're entrustments from God. What are we doing with what God has given to us? Are we serving ourselves? Are we trying to protect ourselves in a world in which our protections aren't going to save us? We're certainly to be wise, but the final protection is from the Lord of glory, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And we can trust in His protection more than we can trust in anything on our own. Our own abilities are nothing. This beauty, this splendor, all of these chariots and horsemen are nothing when compared to the power of Almighty God. And we need to understand how beautiful Solomon was given, the wisdom Solomon was given. And when we think about that, we need to be driven to see the wisdom of our great and awesome God, who is perfectly faithful to us and gives to us eternal life, which we don't even begin to deserve. He has given to us more than we could ever imagine. Amen. Let us then bow our heads in our hearts in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your provision for us. Even as we see the beauty and the riches which you gave to Solomon through his wisdom, even as we think about his wisdom displayed for the Queen of Sheba, and that she was able to see these things, and yet, Lord, remind us of your wisdom, of the perfection of your wisdom, working all things together, so that the wisdom of man is accounted foolishness. And we praise you, Lord, that you have, by the foolishness of the gospel preached, given us that gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ. So that even as the Queen of Sheba said, she had heard, but she didn't understand. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear and by the power of your Holy Spirit understand what is necessary for us to understand on this earth. Even as we expect the fullness of your glory is far beyond our puny minds. So help us to lift high your name. Help us to use the things you have entrusted to us to your glory, to the glory of our great and awesome Lord, the greater Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray these things in his name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.